Welcome to Trust the Journey. I'm Jason Maletsky.
And I'm Melanie Curtis.
Our mission is to live, laugh, love, and learn together with you.
Yeah, we're here to create conscious connections, to grow and contribute through our own practice of openness, honesty, vulnerability, humility, and trust, trusting the entire journey.
If you want to connect to us on the wider internet, you can find us on our website, and all of our social media is under trustthejourney.today.
Yeah, right on, family. Thank you so much for being with us. Here we go. All right, welcome. This episode, we're doing a free flow. We're just no topic. We're just kind of jumping in and seeing what comes up. Kind of being really in the process. I like that. I'm excited about today. I did not prep.
Good. Sometimes it's really, really valuable to just show up to the day without a completely contrived approach to what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny with my life coaching clients, people will show up and they're like, oh, I didn't really prep. I don't even know what I want to talk about. And sometimes those are like the most valuable sessions because what you didn't, think about, or what's maybe hiding in the back edges of our brain kind of comes up and has space to come up, which I mean, I've experienced that myself with my own coaches, where I'll show up and be like, I don't know what I want to talk about. And then we have some sort of really heart-centered breakthrough or something like that.
Yeah, I would relate the same experiences myself. One of the things that I've known, like from my own therapy sessions, is when, you sit down and they're like, hey, what do we want to talk about today? And you're like, I don't know. You're supposed to tell me what we're going to talk about today. And actually, no, it's about whatever's on your mind or whatever you've been thinking about.
I have to say, yeah. I love the whole new microphone thing. Like, I love that part of our process that we're working so hard to grow and really up our professionalism. And I can't not acknowledge you, Jay, for all the work that you do to find us the right technology and the right hardware and teach me what buttons to press and when. I feel like I'm learning a ton about audio and the hardware and stuff like that. I mean, even just now today, where to set the microphone up and realizing that I needed a desk versus just sort of some makeshift put my computer on a box scenario, which sometimes I definitely do. You know what I mean? So it's like, cool, okay, I can do this. It's just learning that I'm excited to do that stuff because I'm excited to up how we sound and obviously learn and grow, but meaning I'm fired up that we're really upping our professionalism.
Cool. Me too. And thank you.
Yeah.
It's mutual, for the listenership or for our viewership, if you were to be watching us prepping for this episode, it would be pretty hilarious trying to see Melanie's got her stack of books with her computer and trying to position the microphone right and realizing, oh my God, I have to step up to the level of using a desk.
It's so funny. I used to have a desk in my room and I liked it, but I don't have that large of a room. I live near New York City. The space here isn't that large. And it's cool because I feel like you can do so much with so little. Like, I'm a big believer in that too. So I've always really made it work. And it's a funny thing because it's really about like, where is this it relative to my face and how does that work functionally? You know what I mean? Theoretically, I could use my other tripod and like stuff like that. But yeah, it's definitely part of the process of what and how do I want to use my space. I've varied that multiple times over even just living in this particular apartment. But anyway, that's just sort of one of the things that in terms of our project, it's now noted. Like, okay, I need some consistent space to set this stuff up so that it's exactly the same distance and it, yeah, basically is consistent in our recordings.
You've got me down in this. I mean, just this, it's always interesting metaphor how life is a metaphor for life. And we've brought this up in previous other discussions, right? Where there's always a scaling. One of the things I've observed in my experience in this life is everything has a larger and smaller version of itself. And so, in the topic of, creating some structure, creating some consistency, looking to up our game within our podcast, and by doing some, subtle improvements or trying something, going, well, that was okay, but it wasn't as where we want to be, and doing different versions or the iterative process, and that creation of trying to create a better version of ourselves, a better one that we're content with, having put work into it and go, okay, I've done some work in this area. Am I happy with the outcome? Do I feel like I can put this where it is and it can live there, and that's what I'm content with, or does it need to change? And then the and keep changing it until it reaches a structure that is consistent and that is reliable and that does serve us in its function and it really works for us. And the thing that got me really onto that thought was the less with more, smaller space, putting yourself in a place where you're really just optimizing what it is that you choose to have around you and why you choose to have it around you, and not just having anything or filling a space for whatever reason with stuff. And whether it's the physical space in the room that you live in or work in or occupy for whatever, or whether it's your emotional space or whether it's your creative space or whichever part of our being it is that we're diving into. And I guess we're both relating currently to a physical space thing. And I've been doing that myself. I've been moving things out of my physical space that are currently static or stuck energies, things that have been parked for a very long time. And I picked something up yesterday. I look at it, it's in the package, it's brand new, right? I ordered it for because I needed it at the time, and ordered a few because I used them regularly. But now I don't even have the machine that filter went to. It's gone. And I have more of these filters left over, and I don't want to throw them away because they're brand new. But I don't even have the unit for the filters. And I'm like, Jay, just throw these away. Clear the static space,
I do know. It's so funny. I definitely know. I used to get so super wrapped around the axle. I've been sort of like on this quest for stability and a sense of home. And I know we've talked about traveling and how I walk up to the Delta counter this year and I have no status with the airlines. And I'm like, yes, I've achieved my life goal of traveling less. The irony, of course, that I'm traveling so much more again this year, which is great because it's all about positive opportunity that I'm excited and happy to take. I bring that up though because I used to get wrapped around the axle about like wanting to buy a home and really wanting to like own a home. And yet I have chosen and I'm excited to live in an area that's very expensive. You know what I mean? Being near New York City, and the town that I live in, even here in New Jersey, is pretty nice. And it's really, gosh, upwards of $1 million to buy a home here. So it's a significant situation. It's one you would need to be mindful of to when you're purchasing here, and obviously have the income and means to back that up. But I bring that up because I used to get like, oh, I want to buy a home, because I was connected to that idea as that's going to help give me more stability, more sense of stability. And I've since moved past that in the sense where I'm now so much more sourcing stability inside myself, right? Like that's a huge has been a huge part of my own growth process. But really also embracing my current reality, and I mean whatever it is, but like really in the storyline of a home and where we live, I've embraced this smaller living, going, okay, cool. What's awesome about this is that I accumulate fewer things. I am smaller in terms of what I gather in terms of physical things, which I like, which I think is a positive for me. So occasionally, every so often, will do another like purge, you know, another clearing of my space. And I've made that and turned that into a habit for myself, which I like, you know. And so recognizing that feeling of stability and home is important to me, I'm like, okay, great. How do I create it in my current life? Like I'm out more in my community here. I'm meeting more people. It's excellent, you know what I mean? And when I come home, I'm really grateful that I'm like, yes, I was on the road taking these positive opportunities, and now I'm back and I feel good to be here too. You know, it's just that whole mindset shift around recognizing when something is sort of stuck in your craw almost, and be like, it's not a huge problem, but it's like, why do I keep thinking about that? You know, what and where can I alter my mindset around that such that I feel better about just and really and truly positively connected to what is currently reality?
It's really important to be able to recognize that for ourselves. And I can think back to times in my life where I've had very, very, very little. And I think that some people may be able to identify with that, others maybe not so much. And I'm talking about like all my belongings will fit in my car, kind of little, you know, have a bag of clothes, have a couple skydiving rigs, got some camera equipment, and that's it, you know, like really down to the bare bones. And in those times when I've moved through my life at a very low volume rate, it empowered me to be more self-reliant, self-fulfilling, self-dependable, and I couldn't lean on my piles of stuff around me to kind of hold up my idea of who I am. And at the same time, it freed me up to be able to choose any direction and feel like I can go anywhere. I can do anything because I'm not surrounded by walls or definition. Simultaneously, the need to utilize whatever space I had available in order to provide myself some structure, some stability, some strength, something reliable was very, very, very important. So I could think about when, you know, I rent a room and I know I'd only be there for a few months. Maybe it was going to be like 4 or 5 months I was going to be there, and I would paint it. You
Nice.
know, I'm like, oh, I'm going to be here 4 or 5 months. And I'm like, well, I need sanctum for the time that I'm here. So like in the first week, I'm like, I'm going to paint the room. I'm going to hang some curtains. I'm going to do a couple things just to make it cozy for that very short time that I'm here. Where at other points in my life, I've been less attuned to that. And I've noticed the difference is when I don't take the time to create my space as something that will be my nest, that will support me, that I can rely on, then I've felt more disjointed. But if I also, if you overcreate it, if I make too much of it, then I become reliant upon that. So there's this delicate balance between too little effort put in place to ensure some kind of feeling of cozy comfort, a safe place to go, or too much effort put in to create my mansion, my castle, you know, this like
I know
idea.
for me it's like it's cool because reconciling the temporary nature of all things has been helpful to me in my own growth. Because I've had a lot of movement, a lot of quote unquote insecurity in life, like a lot of things happening, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to describe that. It could be any life change, you know what I mean? And obviously travel and movement, stuff like that. But it's been helpful to me, like, to really rest and accept in that temporary nature of things while being in the process of building the things that I want. You know what I mean? Again, it's like if we talk about the delicate balance, I feel like that's a mindset, like brain balance for me. Whereas if I want something and then I get white knuckled to it, where I, oh, I don't want this to ever change, or I want this to go on forever, or you know what I mean? Or like, I want to live here. This is my home forever. Like those types of ideas where it's like you want that core certainty, you know, like we talk about the core human needs of humans needing certainty and safety, and humans needing insecurity and novelty and excitement, like both needing both. If we have too much insecurity, excitement, like novelty, where life is really sort of devoid of a sense of certainty and stability, then we're unsettled usually. And that's what I experienced for a number of years in my own life, which is why I was so called to creating stability and certainty. And so I just was mindfully watching my own creation of that. And it's funny, I was even talking to my roommate, Sarah, about Matil, my cat. And how I was just, you know, talking about Matil. She has a couple of dogs. She's an animal lover as well. And how I was like, I can't even think about Matil dying. Like the idea of her like dying is just like horrible. I can't even think about it. I just want to cry. I can obviously now, but she was so insightful in that moment talking about, you know, just how everything it goes away, you know. It's so like sounds depressing, but on one side it also releases you to really be like, I can really enjoy this right now. This right now is temporary too. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I, as many people know, some probably don't, was born in Canada. So my home was in Toronto, Ontario. And when I chose to leave Canada to come to the US to become a professional skydiver and to really engage that career path, it was a really difficult choice. I'm sure that anybody who's ever made a big move, who's left the nest in such a huge way, knows that that first move away to a different city can be massive and double it when you move to a different country. Fortunately, you know, the language is the same, so there's not a new language to learn, but I can't even imagine all the people that I know who've moved to a place where they've had to learn a new language when they make that change for themselves. What I wanted to reflect on in this piece was when I went back to Canada years later, and I'm talking decades later, I've gone back and gone to my old neighborhood where I grew up, and I drive down the street and I look at the house that I grew up in, and it's not my family home anymore. You know, it's gone. And that recognition of impermanence, of everything constantly changing, was a huge, huge realization to go down, drive down that road, come around a corner, and have all this like huge backlog of childhood memories that are connected to that area. And I could barely tell which house it was.
Yep.
I look at all my neighbor houses, which I remember clear as day. I'm sure everybody does. You know, you think to your childhood and you're like, okay, this is my right hand next door neighbor. This is two doors over. This is three doors over. This is where Johnny lived. This is where, you know, Susie lived. This is where, you know, Paul lived around the corner. And you get there and I'm driving down the road and I'm like, I didn't even look at that. I don't know. Is that the house? Is that the one? And I couldn't really even figure it out.
Yeah.
And it just knocked me over how impermanent everything is and how much it all changes.
Yeah. And that supported me when I'm in periods of challenge. When I am in a period of challenge, that thought really supports me. Like, this too shall pass almost. You know what I mean? I imagine myself on the world tour. So I don't know if people know this about me, but I took a 5-month world tour sort of in a really challenging personal breakdown period of my own life. And it was this big project that I wanted to challenge the model of mobile entrepreneurship and at the same time really just use the freedom that I had created in my lifestyle by the design, like how I designed my business to be mobile. It was an opportunity for me. I turned it into an opportunity for myself to use that freedom in a way that I really had never expected I would. And it was this total giant quest, you know? Like, I lived out of a backpack for 5 months. I traveled with one of my good friends for most of it, which was great. Had some time by myself and met some beautiful friends along the way. Went to so many amazing places and was really healing myself at the same time too. And so it was very challenging emotionally, even though it was this beautiful experience. So there was a deep part of me during that time in the world tour that really knew that it was for me. You know what I mean? That I wasn't sure what I was going to get out of that period of my life and out of that experience that I had really consciously chosen myself into in terms of traveling like that, because it was rigorous. You know, it looks like, oh, living the dream, traveling the world, living the dream. And I'll tell you, it was amazing and beautiful, and I'm so grateful. And it was really fucking hard too, you know? So it's like both were there. If we talk about that polarity, we've mentioned that a bunch of times, and it was very much present in that experience. But anyway, I'm sort of rambling about this, but the understanding or the intuitive knowing that something in that, like, I knew it was for me, and I really wanted to persist to the end, because I also knew at any point I could decide to buy a plane ticket and go home, right? And I really was aware of that the whole time. And so anyway, long story short, it really showed me how little I need to live to have, how much I can get through something really, really hard. Like how much I'm capable of in terms of emotional challenge and literal logistical challenge and all of that stuff. And so it makes me just even more able to choose into a small apartment if I want to, or buy a home if I want to. It's like you were saying, those possibilities really open up, and the scope of possibilities opens up when we have experiences sort of on those edges.
I also did a 8 month world tour like you when I had two roller bags and a backpack.
Yeah.
That was my thing. And most of it was full of skydiving and base jumping gear. So the bags are mostly, equipment. But I'm curious, in that time when you were on the road, did you have a home base? Did you have an apartment? Or did you leave it all behind and just figure it out when you get back, kind of thing?
Left it all behind. Yeah, no home base. I had a round trip ticket that I never intended on using the return ticket, which is what happened. And then, you know, consistently purchasing tickets and, you know, hotels, friends, as we sort of circumnavigated the globe. And yeah, it was, oh, such a fascinating thing to reflect on now, like being so, like, removed from that now, being forward in my life and my growth. It's fascinating. I'm so glad I took a lot of pictures. I'm not joking. Like, I'm seriously not joking, because now when I look back, I'm like, oh, that's so awesome. It's easier to connect to all the beautiful, positive memories too. And I'm just so grateful for all of it, because, man, it's when we go through hard stuff, it just so tells us what we are capable of, you know? Like, I can't not acknowledge that in terms of any difficulty, whether it's a world tour, a personal healing, a team experience where we're navigating conflict and learning how to talk to each other, or building a business. Because that's one thing I did on the world tour as well, is that I deliberately continued to run my business. So, you know, I was like emotionally healing, living in this wildly unstable, weird traveling scenario, and I was running my business, like for real, talking to clients from various parts of the earth, one of which being like in a bathroom in Nepal, hoping the freaking like generator didn't go off, putting blankets around the bathroom so it didn't sound like I was sitting on the toilet, you know, like all of that stuff. It's just like you'd figure it out. I'm cool with setting a box up and having it, you know what I mean? Like, that experience is partly why when we get a new microphone, I'm like, yeah, I'll just set it on a box and I'll just prop it up and it'll be all good. It's partly because of that experience that I operate like that, if that makes sense.
It
Yeah.
totally does. I know this, we've had very similar experiences through life. It's just like, yeah, I'll figure it out when I get there. It's not going to be that hard. I've had to deal with
Right.
worse, you know? And I've watched so many of my friends. I mean, one of the beautiful things about the jumper lifestyle is that it's very much encourages that avid travel life, you know, of moving around the globe, of moving different countries. And I see my friends who many of whom have chosen the same path of being you know, the digital nomad or the traveling instructor or the traveling coach or the boogie tour or whatever the example is of how we can just choose into floating around and doing whatever fulfills us and also leaving ourselves the space to make choices as they occur. And that's the real time piece of it, right? Like you said, oh, I never planned to use the return ticket. And last year I did the same thing for myself. It's like I bought a one-way ticket. I'm like, I'll figure out the other half later because I don't really want to commit into anything right now. And now that's becoming more and more of my default, where I used to be highly structured about always wanting to say, okay, this is my departure date, this is my return date. That means I'll be back for this period. So, and I can have a lot of clarity. And now I've got a trip coming up this year, and can't even decide which country to start in or when to go. And I'm just like, well, I'm kind of just gonna, I'm even letting the departure kind of run up against the wall more often, where then I'm kind of forced to make a choice based on having less options. And that's similar to the same point of like choosing into a lifestyle that's got less around you all the time to constantly tell you how everything's going to be. And by leaving myself less options or putting myself into a corner where you're like, okay, you know, I have to do this call from the bathroom in Nepal, then I have to make this simple set of choices. It's like, this is what I have to work with. I'm going to ch choose path A or path B, and I'm going to get the answer, and I'm going to be happy with it because I've chosen myself to this point, I'll choose myself to the next.
Yeah, it's interesting the mobile lifestyle, digital nomad, whatever. I certainly do not live that lifestyle. I could because my business allows me to be able to do that. So I could live anywhere, which I'm still grateful to have that option. I like having that undertone of freedom in my life. You know, that serves me, that energetically supports me, even though I am in a more grounded place in my trajectory or just in my current phase, whatever this is. I'm more called to being in to doing, as we said, less travel, but my point is being in more in one place. I like the idea of growing more in one spot. But yeah, I think it's interesting because it just depends, I think, on what a person wants for themselves in their life. Like 10 years ago or whatever, it would have been a different answer. You know what I mean? Like I've grown as a person in such a way that this is now what I'm excited about because I have had so many experiences that have been mobile. I've had lots of experiences that have been buy a plane ticket, go, be free, do calls from the road, yada, yada. And that's been awesome. I wouldn't trade it for a second. And there's a part of me that's like, I did that a lot. I'm cool to do something different and see what I experience doing that. So it's for me a lot about having a new experience. It's funny. I used to reflect and be like, dang, because I would always get all these, this is such a good problem, by the way, good quote unquote problem, is I get all these opportunities and invitations to cool things. And I'm so, again, so grateful. And I had to begin saying no to things so such that I could have a different life experience. You know what I mean? I literally even considered getting a fucking job so that I would not continue to do what I used to do. Like I was like, Curtis, reel it in, girl. You know, like bring it in. If you say you want to do less of this and yet you're still doing XYZ old lifestyle, you know what I mean? Because again, good problem. But I had to acknowledge to myself, you need to start deciding differently if you want a different life experience. You know what I mean? So now I evaluate opportunities very mindfully to see if it really fits into the life experience that I currently want. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I'm on the same page. I've had the same, very similar type experience. Lately, I've been choosing into just saying no to almost everything and really going more into the internal and being like, what would I do if I didn't have all these other things filling my time all the time? Where would I spend my time? And really kind of cleaning the palate. You know, it's like being an artist and always having the same set of seven colors on your palette and going, yeah, this is what I work with all the time. Which one do I want today? Red, blue, green, whatever. And then at one point, just walking over to the workstation and then just cleaning it off and then just leaving it empty and not having it committed. And then the potentiality of absolutely new things occurring is there, you know? And I've really noticed for myself that I'm quite content at this point in my life to allow for some new things to happen, right? And maybe I don't even pick up the same type of paint that I'm used to painting with. I pick up something completely different. And I think that's what's led to this interaction and, you know, the production of this podcast. And it's just opening up those spaces and choosing, you know, choosing into new directions and new experiences.
Yeah, I've been telling a lot of people now that my book is published, and I don't even think I mentioned the title of the book, but this is relevant to that exact point. So my book title is How to Fly: Life Lessons from a Professional Skydiver. It's a long time coming, super fired up that it's out there. It's been awesomely received. Again, gratitude out the wazoo there. I bring that up because we're laughing about making these different life choices and being more in one spot and stuff like that. And I laughed last year or this year. I rock up to the Delta counter, no status. I'm super cool. Yay, traveled less, life goal achieved. And then I said, ironically, this year I'm traveling more. So there's opportunities that have come to me that have inspired me to say yes to travel, which, again, if I'm making mindful decisions, it begs the question, well, what is inspiring me to do this? If I'm declaring that I want to travel less, it's basically around this idea of speaking more. And I'm, for the first time in a long time, I've had business coaches and friends and just people really support me throughout the years to be like, go and you be a speaker, this you'd be great at that, yada yada yada. And I've never felt that called to do that. I've done it. I've done it here and there, but I've never been excited to like really go, yeah, speaking is what I'm gonna do. I'm into it. But now that my book is out, and I just love the idea of speaking from the premise of that title, because from that title, like How to Fly, metaphorically, you know, Life Lessons from a Professional Skydiver. It's kind of sexy. It's kind of cool. You know, like skydiving's always this kind of weird, cool hook, you know, when you're talking about non-skydiving audiences. And so for me, as someone who cares about delivering rich value that transcends whatever content or context we're in or talking about, I like that I can maybe go in with this just big platform of my life experience and professional experience, but really my intent with that is going to be to deliver universal value and talk about things like courage and connection and hard work and all the things that really inspire and motivate me and authenticity, just things that I would love to deliver. Anyway, I could go on and on about this, but for the first time ever, I'm very excited to really just say, yeah, I'm gonna do some speaking. And it's like, I don't know, it's exciting. We'll see where it takes me, but I have no idea. I'm just, all I can say is I'm excited about it.
I think it's awesome. I you know you've always been very comfortable with a microphone. For those of you, Right?
Our
So
picture from 9 years ago.
yeah, one of the first times that Melanie and I actually engaged in public speaking was at
Wow.
an event being hosted here in Skydive DeLand, and I was DJing for the event, and Melanie felt, I think you were helping produce some of it or doing some raffle or giveaway or something, but in some way she ended up on the microphone, and there's a picture that popped up recently in my feed, and I shared it to one of our Trust the Journey family, of Melanie all sideways in the microphone and me with my duck lips on, and I'm like, oh gosh, this is where it's all come to, you know? Yeah.
It's just comedy. I mean, that type of stuff. God, I did that forever. And that's the thing. It's like, I don't really have a problem talking in front of people. It's just the intent of how I want to do that has changed. You know, I like, and that's another reason why I Trust the Journey is super motivating to me, is that we get it. What this is a version of public speaking, even though you and I are sitting here chatting, we know it's going to be witnessed and listened to by others, which is amazing. And again, gratitude to everyone listening. Thank you so much. I bring that up though, because it's connected to those deeper messages that I'm excited to deliver. You know, there was a part of me for a long time, multiple years, where I was in, as growing as a life coach, where I was in big resistance to talking about skydiving at all, because I was always sort of annoyed that people were interested in it. You know, it's like sounds so stupid now to say out loud, but the truth is that I wanted to talk about the deeper stuff, and I wanted to talk about life coachy stuff, and I was always like, oh God, only people want to talk about skydiving, and I just was really in resistance to that. I have since grown past that, of course, and really love and appreciate, and so have I love talking about skydiving. If someone wants to talk about it, that's awesome. You know, if that's a way that I can get to know a new person and connect with them, fuck yeah, I'm totally into it. You know what I mean? And I now see it as a potential doorway to those deeper connections, a potential doorway to, if a person wants to go deeper, then maybe that's the avenue through which we get there. Maybe not, and that's okay. Maybe we talk about skydiving and that's all, and that's okay with me too. But you know what I mean? Like for me now, I go, oh, okay, skydiving is this wonderful, beautiful thing. And I, you know, it just took me a while as this burgeoning life coach, wanting to only talk about life coachy stuff is what we resist persists.
We've had the same struggles with that. You know, I was identified as canopy piloting guy forever, right? Mr. Swooper. And it's something that I've been like, there's a lot more to me than just, the guy who flies parachutes. But, that's the moniker, that's the title. And the skydiving one, it's so noticeable. I mean, it's kind of a like, it's a get out of jail free card in a lot of scenarios. I had a couple of friends over last week, and one of them set off the alarm on the house, pushed the wrong code and didn't hit the stop button. And then all of a sudden the alarm's going off, and then the police are pulling in the driveway, and the police is walking up, and he's being all Mr. Police, right? Like he's doing what he has to do. It's Officer Jones, and he's got his hand tight by his side, and who are you? And show me your ID, and who's the owner of the house, and all this stuff. And as soon as he got to the point where he was okay that he'd seen enough IDs, he's still guarded, like he's still on edge. But when he's like, what are you guys here for? Are you here for bike week? Are you here for the NASCAR race? Or what's going on? And we said skydiving. And then 2 seconds later, the whole persona has dropped. And he's no longer Officer Jones. He's, Bill Jones, whatever his name is. And he's going, oh man, I don't know if I would ever do that. And just engaging in conversation, and this interaction of like authority civilian kind of thing is gone, and person to person is there. And I think that that is the power of extreme sports or fear facing anything where we're overcoming ourselves. And we feel that empathy towards others who also have these challenges to overcome ourselves and our pre-programmed determined or self-created or society-based perceptions of how things should or shouldn't be. And for you and I, and for the our skydiver audience, and we know that that has this incredible power to bring people together and to allow us all to be human for a second, where we go, whoa, 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 this is a serious threat to my humanity, to my life, to my preconceived idea of existence. And it just happens to be skydiving in this example, but it can be absolutely anything. You know, it can be serving in the military, it can be being in our law enforcement or in our education community. You know, it can be at any level of our society where we find that kind of common ground. And I think you definitely see it with the military, you see it with firemen, police officers, and medical workers, you know, these places where people step up to manage areas that are very much fearful for all of us. We all hold a common connection to something that's just utterly life-changing in the bigger picture. There's something about that circumstance puts us all into our human place, and we're all able to be connected again. And that's the piece, right? Like, that's the connection piece that we, I know you and I both have that. I want to overshare so I can be more connected, kind of
Yeah,
reach,
I
you
know.
know? You're
I
like,
was like, I'm so glad I overcame that one.
yeah.
Thumbs down.
Yeah. But
Yeah.
we're looking for that. That's what it's about, right? Like, to bring back around Officer Jones, as soon as he dropped that persona and we were people to people, I was talking to another human. And that's what we all want. We want to engage, be able to look at whoever it is that we're talking to and have it feel as though we both recognize and are able to connect on this level. And I've often felt that struggle with law enforcement that you know, I've been pulled over, and they're like, okay, I'm not. Am I talking to a human here, or am I being talked to by a robot? You know, because I'd really like to just talk to you as a man, and you could talk to me as a man, and I'll respect you because of that. And when that isn't there, the respect isn't there either. It's pre-programmed answer. You know, I'll answer the way you want me to answer, but you're not getting the real me. And I guess what I'm trying to get to with this lengthy, big circle around, speaking of circles, I'm just playing with one of my favorite little ones here.
Perfect.
This bringing it back around to the main point is that whatever way we can find connection to each other, that we have some opportunity afforded to us by our life experience, whether it's skydiving or whether it's being an author or whether it's being a public speaker or a podcast host or whatever it is that we do, if we're able to create that connection, that deeper connection to other people, then we don't need the structure of things around us. We don't need this like architecture of like, oh, I'll have all my stuff that'll make me feel as though impermanence is it non it doesn't exist, you know? And I'll falsify my life to use, you know, when I say it's false structure, but really permanence is experience. We have an experience, it's permanent. We had that experience, it occurred, it never unoccurs, right? That's the only permanent thing is what we've experienced and what
Yeah.
we are experiencing.
I love that you're circling back to, I mean, connection, obviously, but when I think of skydiving and the idea of any topic in conversation that connects, and because skydiving is obviously does this, I'm like, why does it do that? You know, what's the thing about that? And there is a certain shock value to skydiving. It's a topic that is, there's an opinion there, you know, like there, it's on the edge. So it's not a typically universally held thought. Therefore, in that, there is a bit of shock value. I choose to jump out of an airplane. There's not a whole lot of people in the world that do that. Yeah, there's a lot, but you know what I mean. Not comparatively to the number of humans on the planet, it's a small number. So theoretically, there's shock value in that because it's atypical. Now, I bring this up because I'm a person who fucking respects people who are real. And I really contest that when people are really real, they show that like the true self, like our true selves are fucking weird and unusual. Like I posted this thing about Lydia from Beetlejuice. There's a line in Beetlejuice where she's like, people ignore the strange and unusual. I myself am strange and unusual. And I think there's a bit of shock value inherent in every person. You know what I mean? Like in every person. And there's a bit of like the courage and obviously being actually real, the courage to let down your defenses. You know what I mean? It might not feel courageous every time. So I'm not trying to overly courage it up. I'm trying to point to that there's this like theoretically all of us, if we're being real, we're on the edge because nobody else is like us. Nobody else is us. Nobody else likes what we like. Nobody else. So that if I talk about shock value, and a lot of people also really hold themselves back, really, and it's understandably so, to avoid conflict or to avoid rejection or to avoid whatever. And so there is this edge to being real, you know, I'm like, yes, I'm enlivened by that it connects. So even though it might seem like it's not an edgy thing, I really contest it is. And that's partly what I see when people bring up topics or our strongly held opinions, is that there's this edge to it. There's this shock value to it for whatever reason there is. And that sort of incites engagement a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times it does. And as a result, it connects, whether it's in dissonance or whether it's in recognition or whatever, but there is reality in that, which is always, I feel like, enlivening. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. The underlying piece of that has always rung true to me is in the preface of always asking why, rather than just accepting whatever is put as this is how it is. I very much live in the culture of asking myself why and always being interested to or curious and saying, well, yeah, I know that that's how it's been done, but, and I'm happy to, I'd love to be educated as to why something works well. If somebody knows, or if there's a common answer as to like, this is the default answer to something, but at the same time, I've never really liked accepting that there's a default answer to anything, because I don't feel like the default answer to anything. Why would I expect that just because somebody else has accepted an answer for something means that I should accept that answer? But that's good. It also has its weird dichotomy of going, well, is the earth flat or is the earth round? You know, like, so this is the one that's been tossed into the common, it's in the conversation of, you know, the Western world today, is people are actually questioning whether or not the earth is flat or the earth is round. And right. I think power to them,
right,
for questioning, you know, mm-hmm, and for being willing to stand up and be like, I don't know if I believe you. But yes, at the same time, when something goes one way or the other, both sides have to be willing to question. And if the default answer turns out to be correct right now, then it's correct. And if it turns out that at some other point in the future that changes, then it changes. And that happens with science, that happens with religion, that happens with our understandings of ourselves, that happens with everything all the time. So it could be proven at one point in the future that the earth is flat, you know, based on some way of perceiving it, right? And I love that. I think it's fantastic to always be willing to push ourselves to those. How do I? Maybe it's different. Maybe it's different for me. Maybe it's different for you.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh God, I was literally just thinking about that yesterday. This idea of questioning, of not accepting everything automatically. You know, because you might. The questioning doesn't mean you're rejecting things. It just means you're maybe confirming something, or you're earning confidence because you've learned a bit more because you've questioned it. It's this in terms of how we direct ourselves and our actions, the values that we hold dear, the things that we've always done. You know, it might have worked for me as a 25-year-old, but it's not working for me as a 41-year-old. So it's like, if I don't question my reasons to act, then theoretically I could spend my life not as happy as I could be, because I'm simply less aware, because I've held on to certain whatever blind spot ideas for too long. So yeah, I'm 100% with that, big time.
One of the there's this curious thing that we have called tradition, and I'm a huge fan of this thing that we have that's called culture. I love the idea of culture, and I'm not a fan of what's called tradition. To me, that culture is very important to protect and to nourish and to teach and to carry forward and to like take the old ways of doing things and continue teaching them to our younger people and continue practicing them. And there's so much rich, valuable culture that we can continue to share moving forward and experience together that's so flavorful and colorful and smells wonderful, and it keeps us bonded together, and it's enjoyable, and culture is just fantastic. And to me, tradition is something that we do without asking why we do it. We just do it because our family or our culture or our upbringing, our people have always done that. And I would always question tradition to say, is this of truly a value to the me who I am today? And it's exactly the same point that you were just hitting on. You know, maybe at a point a couple thousand years ago, whatever, it was of great value to throw goats into the volcano, you know, because that's how we appeased the gods, you know, and it worked for us at the time. And it was very powerful for us at that point. And we absolutely needed it in order to get ourselves to a point where we could be okay with everything that was happening around us. And now we might question that tradition and say, maybe we don't need to throw a goat into the volcano to understand why the volcano erupts. You know, now we understand tectonic plates and we can see what's going on and causing the volcano, and we can measure seismic action. And so that tradition changes, but the culture of respecting the volcano does not. You know, like we still have to pay heed to this big fiery monster that lives in the ground that can come up and get us at any time. So I like having when the opportunity comes to talk about the differences between culture and tradition, and to always be diving into the question of why. That's my favorite question ever. I love the question why. And why do I choose to have these things around me? Why do I choose to have these things in my life, these people in my life? Why am I choosing this for myself now? Why did I choose it for myself before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why with a curious tone is so fun. It's so great, you know? I think it's so funny with a lot of people, if not connected to or excited about the question why, can receive it as a sort of veiled accusation. You know, if we talk about basic communication stuff, like, so a lot, I've heard that a lot. I've seen that a lot, where actually expressing the genuineness of the curiosity connected to the why, if we're talking to another person, that can really open up such fascinating dialogue and like a deeper understanding of a person. And certainly when we ask ourselves why curiously, we get a deeper understanding of our own selves, which is what I feel like you're pointing to. But even when we're in conversation with other people, asking why with genuine curiosity It's such an easy avenue into really depth of understanding of what motivates a person, what are their character traits, what do they care about, you know, that type of stuff. And it's great for reflection. I always like to say, ask why like 5 times or as long as you need. Like, is this is a path to really uncovering pain points as well. You know, when we're in resistance to something, well, why? Okay, well, this. Well, why that? Well, this. Well, why that? Well, this. You know, and really doing that sort of deep dive with multiple layers of asking yourself why. A lot of times in that digging down, in that inquiry, we can find sort of root causes and root gremlin thoughts that are blocking us or limiting us in our radiance or our self-worth or our sense of capability or whatever.
So you ask the question, why would you want to jump out of a plane? And the answer is because you might find out that you can fly.
Yeah. Mic drop on my keynote.
Boom.
Thank you. Thank you, Jay Malesky. Boom. Well, on that
Yes.
note, we have thought we would introduce a different little section of our podcast of sharing quickly at the end of our show are currently experimenting with what we're trying on for size, what we're giving a shot in our own lives, just something to share and just to more include you guys, those listening, in our own growth path, you know, just to be even more sharing about what we're giving a shot, whether we keep it, whether we don't, remains to be seen. But we wanted to start sharing a little bit more of that stuff. Any ideas for yours this week, my dear?
I have a few things that are very, very active practices in my life right now. One of them is a choice that I made. Not It's an interesting one because it's a choice that I've committed to recently, but one that I knew that I needed to make for a very long time. And so I'm doing yoga
Nice.
every day.
Nice.
And my goal is every single day, including some classes that are very active, some that are very meditative, and some that are in between. So yeah, my current program of mental and physical body connecting together is based in a daily practice at
Yeah.
this point. So
That's awesome. That's really awesome. Mine's similar in the sense that it's something that I had a should around. I should be doing this. And for me, I've always been mildly resistant to meditating. And in the classic sort of I feel like there's a lot of preconceived meaning on top of that. But my best friend Shannon, she gave me a sun meditation. I've sort of changed it for myself, but basically I'm doing this consistent. I have it in my task list because that's that works for me to have something recurring in my task list to remind me to do this because I want to experiment with this. So basically, when I meditate, I breathe in as if I'm breathing in from the sun, the energy of the sun. I really think about it and I am with it, which sounds kind of weird, but and I'm breathing in its light and energy into my body and meditating, thinking through that visual process. So I've been doing it for a little while, not too long, maybe a few months, and not every day, but pretty consistently, far more consistently than I ever have. And I'm unsure. So it's definitely still in the phase of something I'm experimenting with and seeing how it affects me. But I'm pretty excited about it because meditation in general has been something I've resisted. So
very cool. Very cool. It's pretty widely renowned as being a positive practice in some form, to anybody who dedicates to that,
Yeah,
for
right
sure.
on. Well, guys, thank you guys so much, as always. I mean, seriously, thank you so much for being a part of our family, the Trust the Journey family.
And I want to say that special thank you because this is a special episode that we have new microphones. And so the reason why we have new microphones is because we've part of one of our goal lists from our review last year was to up our level of professionalism based on the feedback that we've gotten from our family and from our listeners. And what's given us the ability to be able to upgrade our microphones is our Patreon community who has chosen to support us. And we've got a growth goal to continue nurturing this community. So if you would like to support the Trust the Journey project, you can become a member of the Trust the Journey family by clicking on the link underneath the YouTube video or by going to patreon.com and searching Trust the Journey to dot today. Or you could go to our website, trustthejourney.today, and you can scroll down to the bottom of the page. You'll see a bright orange button that says Become a Patreon. So all of those are going to get you to becoming a member of our Trust the Journey family Facebook group, where we provide further value and open the conversation, and we are creating community. The goal is that we share, we nurture, we learn from each other, and we all start working together to be there for each other and have that connection that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, exactly. I was literally just sharing about it today, talking with someone about entrepreneurship and models and stuff, and really sharing about why we took, chose this model is that community. I love that. And guys, you no pressure, of course, if you are inspired to join the Patreon group and the Trust the Journey family and in that way, great. But if you want to be a part of the Trust the Journey family and just take in our social media, that's trustthejourney.today on all the various social media channels. And really, any way you're inspired to engage us, just listening, sharing, whatever is welcome and appreciated. And that's the deal. Thank you so much, as always, for being with us. We love you. And yeah, we love you. And remember, keep laughing, keep loving, and keep trusting the journey.